Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
It doesn't feel like Friday, though. I don't get it. It feels like, to me, a Sunday night. What's nice is I'm going to enjoy the next couple of days off, and I'm going to try to get some Christmas shopping done this weekend. Mostly, I got to shop for my wife. And the hard thing is I got to, you know, get some stuff for my parents, but you know how that goes. We'll figure these things out while we go along. But whatever we do, I'm glad we got these next couple of hours together, and let's, I don't know, how about we talk about what you want to talk about? We do these open lines on Thursday night into Friday, so it could be off topic. It could be what you want. 314-436-7900 is the number. 800-925-1120. A text message came in. What is your opinion on the Florida police shooting? And that came in about an hour ago. You know, I haven't talked about that on the show, but I guess we could talk about that. Maybe we'll do that later in the hour. I'll try to get some more details. I've only really looked at that on the surface. You know, I've seen a couple of articles on it, but I haven't really deep dove into that story, but just not good. Here's another text message. Maybe I shouldn't read this one out loud, but the person said, so much they want to add but can't, and I don't want to read the rest, but I hear you. Thank you for messaging me on that. I'm sure there's a lot of different opinions of people that have them but are restricted and can't give them on the topics we were discussing last hour. I totally understand that. Let me get to this real quick, and I'm curious if there's any delivery people out maybe working in St. Louis right now. There's those popular services, the Grubhubs of the world, the, I don't know, whatever they are. But you basically go online and you tell them what you want, and the person will go pick it up for you at the restaurant, the fast food place or whatever it is, and then they'll come bring it to your home. Wow, what a convenience. You're thinking to yourself, why is it that only pizza is delivered to my home? How come I can't get tacos? How come I can't get burgers or hot wings or whatever it may be? Well, someone did solve that. When I was in Indiana, Northeast Indiana, they actually had a service like this. It was called Waiter on the Way. And I thought it was like, oh, what a cool service. You want to get Texas Roadhouse delivered to your house? You just do it. You call them and they do it for you with a little upcharge. And it's, you know, very convenient. Like when we had our son, my wife, you know, obviously we didn't want to go out with a young kid. But at the same time, you're so exhausted, you don't want to cook. And you can only eat so much microwave food in a row. You think, okay, let's call them and bring the food in or whatever it is. That was a nice, convenient thing. Now, there's a story that came out of Dallas. A delivery driver was attacked in the northeast side of Dallas, and the delivery driver was prepared this time around. They came at him. Two 15-year-old suspects allegedly tried to rob a Papa John's pizza delivery driver at gunpoint. But this driver had a gun. He shot and killed one of them. He had a license to carry. And police say two of the suspects were shot and one of them died from his injuries. The surviving suspect was taken into custody. Police say that the driver was not injured and was released after detectives interviewed him and the witnesses. How often do you think delivery people or Uber drivers or whatever it may be are carrying heat? Does that happen a lot? Is that a thing? You can't blame them, obviously. In St. Louis, we got some issues here. You know, it's 12:10 at night. And I look out the window and you see cars driving by, you know, maybe people doing deliveries. There may be people doing other things, just working and doing their thing. They may have the radio on. They might not. They may be listening to something else. And they may be thinking to themselves right now, what happens if I go to the wrong neighborhood tonight? What happens if I'm stopped at a red light so long in an area that someone tries to approach me? What happens when I park my car and someone's there waiting for me? I think about these things leaving the building. You know, it's late night. We're in downtown St. Louis, and I always wonder, you know, what happens if someone comes up? we've had issues in this area before. You can go look at the crime statistics and see where some of these crimes were committed. And it makes you wonder, what would you do in those situations? This guy was prepared. He was armed. He was approached with a deadly weapon. And he decided not to become a victim. And good for him. Good for him. I wonder, though, if you deliver anything, if you go out and drive for a living, if you go to places where people request you to go, do you carry? You can call in anonymously. You don't have to use your real name, John Doe or Jane Doe. You can do that. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. And we got people all across the United States listening. It's not just here in St. Louis, Missouri. I mean, we got 30-plus states this signal reaches at night. And you may be off of work right now. You don't have to be out delivering something as we speak. I'm just curious what your procedure is there. I'm just assuming anyone driving semi right now just has one in the rig, just has one ready to go just in case. You got one under the seat, in the glove box. You just have to if you're driving long distances. If you are someone that works in an industry where it's late and it's dark and it's questionable at sometimes, I totally understand that thing. And I can't blame you whatsoever. I think you're 100% warranted for having that precaution, and you should, and it's responsible for you to have it. It might feel weird, I guess, when you're with a bunch of strangers. You have a lot of trust. I mean, maybe some people just trust the kindness of strangers. I don't. Before we go to break here, I wanted to get our first caller in, and let's go to Larry, who's in Baldwin. Hi, Larry.
Hey, how you doing? Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm in the car business, and one part of my job is to go pick up cars, and sometimes, not very often, I have to go into downtown St. Louis to get a car. And it's not light outside, it's dark.
Mm-hmm.
I have a gun in my truck, I have a gun on my person. And if someone wants to carjack me, if some young African American wants to carjack me, they'll pick him up off the pavement.
Why do you have to put race on it, though, Larry?
because last year they committed every murder in the city except for one.
Mm.
I'm just being realistic.
I see.
You can deny that, deny it. They committed every murder in St. Louis except one. So you got about 180 to one chance it's going to be a black person. Mm. That's why I say it. Yep. Any objections?
Not to the statistics. Your statistics are right. It's just weird that you framed it that way, though, as opposed to anyone coming up to you, you know?
But the statistics don't lie. Everybody's so afraid to talk about the statistics. If you got 180 to 1 chance it's a young African-American man with a gun, that statistic is meaningful, don't you think?
Well, Larry, the way you're phrasing is hypothetical. Race has nothing to do with a hypothetical.
Right.
That's the thing. Like, if it's a real event that happened, then you can use that as a statistic. This is not a real scenario right now.
Okay. If I'm driving a $45,000 truck in the city of St. Louis, and if I get carjacked, maybe I'm crazy, but it probably is going to be a person of color.
Okay.
Well, 180 to 1 doesn't lie, does it?
All right, Larry. How many years have you been doing this?
About 30.
30 years.
In one way or another. Not the exact same job, but I've been working in the car industry for around 30 years.
Yeah.
I have a college degree, and I got in the car business until something better came along, and it looks like it's not going to.
You ever had any issues in those 30 years?
I had two issues, but this is back in the day. I had issues back in the day where I had a car stolen off the back of the truck, but it was in daylight, and the truck was parked, and I had a car stolen in the back. Thank goodness I have not been carjacked or shot at.
Yeah,
I don't want to be.
Yeah.
I don't want to be. And the statistics don't lie. Maybe I framed it wrong, but if people would stop being so correct and look at the statistics, maybe we could do something about crime.
Well, let me frame it this way. So let me ask the question. So you're going into a location, and you are worried that there may be someone that is eyeing your car. All right. Are you keeping your eye
on the streets? I'm on the streets at night.
Okay, you're on your streets of the night. Are you keeping your eye open for everyone, or are you only keeping your eye open for one race?
I'm keeping my album for anybody approaching my car.
Yeah, and I think that's all I'm trying to say. So, I mean, it's not like in these scenarios where it's impossible. But I understand what you're saying with statistics, but these are hypotheticals we're talking here.
It's hypothetical. But
yeah,
the
way you're framing it, though, that's the thing. It's you keep your eyes open for everything. You're keeping your eye open for the threat. That's what you're keeping it
I'm
for.
I'm not stupid. Yeah. If anybody walks up to me, it's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
But when you have 180 against one, it's probably going to be someone of color.
Hmm.
You have to admit that. I mean, I know it's, oh, my God, this guy's racist. I'm not. I'm realistic.
Yeah.
Probably the chance of a drug-addled white man coming to carjack me in the city of St. Louis is not going to happen.
Okay. Listen, Larry, I understand what you're saying. But the thing was, race wasn't even a factor in the way we were talking this. You brought it up as a factor. That's the weird thing to me. Like, it wasn't even a part of the discussion until you brought it up. It was just it was how do you handle situations where people come up to it? Like, I just thought it was weird. You're trying to force it into the conversation.
That's true.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. If someone comes up to me trying to rob me, it's not going to end well for them.
Yeah.
I'm very aware of my surroundings.
Yeah.
I leave the 180 to one chance it's a black man out of it. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have brought it up.
All right. No. Larry, don't be sorry about anything. We're just talking. Hey, thank you for your call.
Hey, have a good night.
You too. Okay. 314-436-7900. Or 800-925-1120. We're going to check in with our friends at AccuWeather in a couple of minutes. I saw in the forecast we could be getting some snow on Sunday night. Not looking forward to that, so we'll get their take. And maybe there's a little better projection now, even though we're a few days out. This is Overnight America, KMOX. Can't believe Christmas is around the corner. Welcome back to Overnight America, and thanks for hanging out with us. Up until 2 o'clock live tonight in St. Louis, Missouri. And we like to check in with our friends at AccuWeather, meteorologist Matt Rindy. Hey, thanks for coming on tonight.
Hey, my pleasure as always.
Yeah, I saw the forecast you guys put out, and this is what it says. Thick cloud cover, chilly on Sunday. Some snow will likely continue Sunday night into Monday, and depending on the storm track, could produce a few inches of snow in the area. So as we watch the track, and that's the thing, it's always a little bit early to make any clear predictions of what's going to happen. I'm just curious in what your models are looking like for Sunday night.
Well, still looking fairly similar. So we're looking at the storm track, of course, moving through the area. We are definitely going to see some form of wintry precipitation, how that forms. Again, it does look like there's going to be snow in and around the area. If it's maybe a little bit north, then that's where the most likely snow accumulation looks like it's occurring at this point. I'm very concerned about some icing, though, at this point.
I don't like the sound of that.
No, I know. I'd rather have the snow, in fact.
Yeah, we do good with snow. Ice, not so much.
Nobody does good on ice.
Yeah, at least as a whole, as a society. So,
yeah, right.
So the temperatures are going to be low. I didn't think they would be super low. I mean, we're talking like, you know, lower 30s.
For highs, we're looking for 20s for lows.
Oh, for the overnights, I see.
Yeah, that's where we, cools off.
This storm that's coming through, where's it coming from?
Right now, it's moving into the West Coast.
Oh, so this isn't a Canadian storm?
No, this is a Pacific origin storm.
So we can't blame Canada for this one.
Well, you can blame the cold air that's in place because of Canada.
Oh, I see. They pushed that down, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's no good. And as it moves across, I mean, what's the likelihood we're going to get hit? I mean, is there a probability, a percentage in mind?
As far as any particular precipitation, as far as wintry precipitation, I think it's very good, 90%.
Wow, that's pretty high.
Yeah. So
is it just through like the overnight, Sunday night into Monday?
Yes. Yeah. Ugh. It'll be developing late Sunday and then continuing into Sunday night and early Monday.
I don't like that. You see, that's my work schedule. Why can't this happen when I'm off? You know, wait until I'm on vacation or something. I don't have to drive in on Sunday night.
Or you can move to Florida and not have to worry about it.
Oh, yeah. So Florida never gets snow? There's never been a chance of that in Florida?
The panhandle has.
Oh, yeah.
As far as I recall.
That's about as close as it gets.
Yeah.
That's kind of scary. Yeah, I guess I could move to Florida. Just keep going south. I mean,
yeah.
I heard Cuba's nice this time of year.
Right. Well,
but, or
except
maybe
for
not.
The communism. But
yeah,
you know
your livelihood's not going to be the greatest. But
right. No, it's,
But, hey, you're not going to worry about snow.
I'm not, right.
So, for the most part, is that going to be a one and done, or is this going to be like, well, it might hit, but there's some other chances of things behind it still to hit this area.
Well, nothing in the near term, at least. It looks like we're pretty quiet into the early part of next week after that. And then you know, of course, you know, we'll have to keep an eye on things. But it's very speculative after you get to a certain number of days past, you know, past five.
Yeah, is that right? Five's about as far as you feel comfortable with?
Well, everything's getting a little better. You, when I first started the business some 25 years ago, three was confident, five was pretty good, and then seven you were really reaching. And now I think we could say five is really pretty confident, at least to some degree. Seven is pretty, you know, it's not bad. And then by the time you get out to 10, you start to, you know, yeah, get a little less confident.
Yeah. Do you ever think trends in the way weather prediction goes? Remember on Back to the Future 2, where they travel to the future and they park the DeLorean and Doc looks at his watch and they were calling for a rain shower that lasted all of like 10 seconds.
And that was 4 years ago in that predicted time frame.
Yeah, and then he's mad because he said they always, the meteorologists always get it wrong. It should have been, you know, it's too early or too late or whatever. Do you think we'll ever get down to being able to predict weather to the second?
Predict, no, but you know, AccuWeather in fact does have a feature on its app called MinuteCast.
Yeah,
which does use the algorithms within the radar system to predict when something will start and when something will come to an end. Now, it doesn't do as well when it's being formed and or diminishing at the spot in which the precipitation is occurring, but it does a pretty good job when there's advancing precipitation and or exiting precipitation.
Yeah. Is Al Roker the most popular meteorologist of all time?
I don't know. Who's the McDonald's guy? Oh, you know, the guy who had a toupee. I can't even think of his name now.
The McDonald's
probably
guy?
Now Al Roker, yeah.
Yeah. Was there a McDonald's meteorologist?
Oh, he started his... He was the Good Morning America guy. He started off as... He's an actor. So he started off as a... he was one of the McDonald... Ronald McDonald's of...
Oh, yeah. What was his name? Now this is going to kill me trying to think of it. I think I know who you're talking about, though.
Yeah.
This is going to kill me. If anyone knows the answer to that, just text message 314-436-7900. This is going to kill me until
Willard
I think
Scott.
Of it. Yes! There it is.
Thank you, Google.
You had to Google that one?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so famous meteorologist, we have Al Roker and Willard Scott. Okay, well, Sunday, it looks like we're getting it. Not much we can do at this point, and we're just going to have to accept that it's going to hit us and hope that it's not that bad.
That's correct.
I mean, there's not a lot of ice.
Yes.
Like what? So the problem, the likelihood of ice, is that also very high?
I would say it's certainly for the south towns, the way things are looking now, yeah. I mean, the southern suburbs, I would say ice is more prominent.
Can something crazy happen, like all of a sudden a wind front comes in and pushes this thing out of our area? Is that possible?
Can something crazy happen? Yeah. I really have a hard time imagining how this system would move out of the Rockies.
And yeah.
The best thing I think we could hope for is that it moves farther north and allows for warmer air to move into the region.
What about, here I'm going to throw this at you too. There's always those conspiracies that the government owns a machine that can control the weather. Is that even possible?
No.
It's too hard to, you can't control the weather, right?
No. If we could control the weather, we'd have Miami Beach everywhere.
I like the idea that the government can control the weather, but obviously something like that is impossible.
Yeah, there's way too much chaos theory to overcome.
Just the way they like it. See, you're falling right into the government trap.
Yes, deep state.
Deep state meteorologist Matt Rindy from AccuWeather.
Oh, that's never going to trend well.
thank you for coming on and spending some time with us here on Overnight America.
You bet. My pleasure.
Matt Rindy's great. And AccuWeather, fantastic people there. They always take time to come on the show and explain to us some of those things and even humor my ridiculous thoughts. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Only seems appropriate to have jazzy Christmas music when we talk about a police shooting that just happened here in St. Louis. So this is what we know so far. Fox 2's got the information posted up. And I think Alex mentioned some things in the news here. We'll hear some more at 1 o'clock. But St. Louis police responded to an intersection off of 55 and off-ramp in South City. Officer shooting there. So apparently there's a 28-year-old was asked to stop. Police officers were there near a mobile reserve unit officer, stopped a 28-year-old. The man broke free, displayed a semi-automatic, extended magazine, refused to drop it. And they say an officer fired at least one shot at the suspect, who was later pronounced dead. They were able to recover that weapon and all kinds of narcotics and things on this person. So more details will be out about that. But there was a press conference with Chief Hayden that I saw pop up on the news live there. Fox 2 covered it. I didn't get a chance to listen to it, but you're going to get more on that, I'm sure, throughout the night, and probably more details in the morning when that starts to surface there. That was right near, and they point out this is exactly near where that 14-year-old was shot at that gas station about 2 days ago. Oh, boy. All right, lots to get to on the show, and we'd keep things a little bit more open on Thursday night into Friday. So 314-436-7900 is the number you can call if you want to call or text there, or 800-925-1120. So this is where we're at. We could play some more Joe Biden clips. I mean, is that what you want to hear? You want some more Joe Biden stuff? Or if there's something else that comes to mind, we can always talk about that too through these late overnight hours. We're live until 2 o'clock. In the podcast, we always post up at KMOX.com/ONA. You know, before the break, too, we talked about delivery people that go into the city of St. Louis. I wonder how many of them are carrying. I feel like most of them with some experience would be the ones to do that. They would be the ones to carry. I just don't blame them one bit for doing that. How could you blame them? A couple of things that dropped today. I mean, I want to read this one quote from CNBC. CNBC. This is from a quote that they put in from Greg Valerie, chief U.S. policy strategist at AGF Investments. Never heard of AGF Investments. He said, "One thing you can be sure of is Trump will spin this into a great victory. To be fair, he's had a heck of a week. He's going to be acquitted in the Senate. He got a defense bill with family leave for federal workers and apparently the USMCA. And then he talks about there's now an agreement with Canada and Mexico that will go through the Senate. And also he's going to avoid tariffs with China. And that's the big headline. U.S. and China reach a phase one trade deal." That's a pretty big deal. So we don't know a lot about it. Fox Business posted a couple of little things they know about it. So it says the Chinese will agree to pay $50 billion in agriculture, but will not write that amount down on paper. It's a verbal agreement, which is kind of interesting. He says, on paper, it includes a section on stronger intellectual protections, includes language around the end of currency manipulation, and phase two negotiations begin in 2020. That is important. 2020 is an election year. Well, that's interesting. So you get a preview of things to come. Let's say all of these things are accurate, even though we don't have all the full answers to this yet. But let's say they agree in $50 billion in agriculture. That's a huge deal, because part of some of the problem we ran into with agriculture is that they were manipulating these prices, and more than just currency manipulation, they were manipulating the cost of, you know, soybeans and all these other things that they would purchase. There's only so many other places you can get it from, and here in the United States, it was really putting a crunch on agriculture for many years. And then when the president decides to get into a war with China and says enough's enough, then it was a real big pinch on farmers here. And a lot of them were very upset. They're saying that, you know, was it worth it? Well, think of it this way. We've had some issues with China in the past. If we get something on paper that reverses the tide on the ways that they've abused the generosity of the United States, and a lot of these other countries should take note. But yeah, this is a good thing. This is like a long-term deal. This isn't something that every year they're going to continue to siphon a little more and siphon a little more and siphon a little more and siphon a little more. This is like, okay, enough's enough. We're going to start reversing these trends. And for the long term, this is going to be paying huge dividends for the United States. Currency manipulation has always been a terrible problem with the people in China. and the leadership there have been terrible at that. Intellectual property, they stole so much from us, technology-wise. You know how many billions of dollars companies here in the United States have lost because of all of the intellectual property that's been stolen from China, and they just refuse to address this sort of thing? These are all great things. So good, good, good. Way to go for Donald Trump. I mean, this is, and by the way, the stock market's responded very positively for this. All right, let's take some more of your calls coming up. Frank is in Overland. What's going on, Frank?
Hey, man. I was just listening to your broadcast as I'm blind and have that non-24 disease, I think.
Non-24? What does that mean?
Oh, something about not being able to distinguish light, so therefore your body sleeps at all the wrong times of day.
Oh, I see. Interesting. Okay.
Right. So I caught you right as I'm about to hit the sack, and I thought, man, I never knew I could call 436-7900 and get on Overnight America. I always thought it was with Jimbo or something, and you had to dial 1-808-JIMBO.
Jimbo Hannon. Is he still on? Because I haven't caught his show in a while, and I don't know when it's on. I was actually on his show once. I met him before.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, but I'm glad you're listening to us, and yes, that phone number is always active. Now, the way that this works, it's a little bit weird with the Cardinals in the offseason. Normally, when the Cardinals are in offseason, the show starts at 8 o'clock and ends at midnight, and then we do the replay hours for midnight to 2 a.m. But on nights where there's like football or when the Cardinals start back up, I go live until 2 a.m., so keep that in mind, Frank. You can always call in the future.
Oh, that's a great thought, man. I appreciate the fact that you're out there doing God's work for the people. Hmm. You know, it's hard to find a good public servant nowadays in broadcasting. Everybody seems to want to slander Mr. Trump, and I heard even the Fox Network might have had somebody on there, some famous reporter or something who's a little bit to the left, and he went off on them.
Chris Wallace has been getting publicity for it. Yeah.
Yep.
You know,
I was just thinking, you know, he's not getting cut any slack, but yet since, how does this work? Tell me, if the House and the Senate make the laws and distinguish which laws are going to be put in practice, which one of the House or the Senate do the Republicans have the dominance in? Is it the Senate?
Right now it's the Senate, yeah.
Okay, so in other words, so the House can make up all these rules and things and change the Constitution if they want to, but it has to go to the Senate to be voted on, and we're not going to pass crap like that legislation that just, you know, pork barreling and waste of money.
Yeah, and one of the other important things, too, is to note that who's in the White House can also veto. So it's important to point out that there is at least some sort of protections against some of these different things that are brought up. But, you know, I don't think the Democrats have really done much of anything when it comes to trying to pass any bills. Their main attention has been trying to remove Trump from office. That's been their objective this whole time. I mean, they're not doing their jobs. This is all they're doing. They're paying full attention because they hate the guy.
You know, a bunch of crybabies out there, and they can't get their food, and so they're whining about it.
Yeah,
I can understand them whining a little bit, but the man got an office. You know, let him serve his time, and let him do his job, and let's see if he's the best or worst president we ever had.
All right, Frank, good to hear from you. Thanks for calling in.
Take care. Have a nice weekend and a great Christmas.
You too, Frank. And please call in again sometime. Donna in Festus. Hi, Donna.
Hi. My mom lived to be 95, and she stayed at home. She lived in South St. Louis, and my sister lived upstairs. But my brother and I would take turns going up to help take care of her. And I was terrified. As I would drive home at night, because it'd be kind of late, I would look at, I hated to come to the stop sign at Chippewa on Hampton. Uh-huh. I hated to have to stop and keep looking around. And I, at the time, it wasn't even, I don't think it was really legal for me to have a gun in the car, but I did. Mm-hmm. And my brother was worried about me because he said, you know, some homeless guy is going to come up to the car and ask you for directions and you're going to shoot him. You know?
Is that what they were afraid of? Well, I think you'd have a little better discretion on something like that, I would hope.
Yeah, I was really afraid. And even when you would be at certain areas where there was like a partition between the road and I, I was always looking for ways to get away because I found all the crime in the city, which so breaks my heart because the city is a wonderful place. It was a wonderful place when I grew up there. But I even had a gun, even though I knew how to use it, but I didn't even think it was legal for me to have it at that point. But I was too afraid to go without it. So I understand why people are afraid. And the man who called in and talked about that it's black crime, the black people, the decent black people, are just as terrified as I am. You know? So I don't think they look at the color all that much, but they know what's going on. And
yeah, and there's so many of this stuff that's targeted, and it's just a shame that there's people that are living in these neighborhoods, with these high crime neighborhoods, that for whatever reason, either they won't leave or they can't leave. But I got to tell you, if they're a decent family living in an area that's a high crime, they should be doing everything they can to get out of it. There should be no allegiance to being in a certain neighborhood because, you know, so they've lived there forever. Get out of that situation. Remove yourself from the potential of someone going and trying to target someone and you accidentally getting caught in the crosshair or, God forbid, one of your kids. And it scares me to death.
It's a sad, sad thing. And a lot of those people don't have the money to get out. I don't think that's part of the problem.
They should do everything in their power. I mean, I think that would be top priority. You know, maybe that's an idea for a charity in the future. Help people relocate, good families relocate out of these dangerous areas.
But the city was a wonderful place when I was young enough. I could walk to the zoo. I could walk to the arena to watch the hockey game. I mean, I didn't even think about it. Mm-hmm. And I can't. And I remember hearing on the radio at some point in time that, like, the mob or the mafia was going to start giving drugs to people and there's going to be gangs in the city. And I was thinking, oh, that's not going to happen. But I think that's part of what happened.
Well, you think the mafia was giving drugs to areas in order to encourage crime?
Well, in order to sell their drugs, they give it. I don't know where the young people get the drugs from. I'm ignorant about stuff like that. But I do remember that, and I heard it on KMOX a long time ago, just on the news, that they were saying, in the future, you know, you're going to have gangs in the cities, and they're going to be fueled by drugs that the gang members are getting from the mafia. They're getting them to sell the drugs for them, and I don't even know if that's actually the way it is anymore, but that's what I heard, and that's what I always thought was going on.
Oh, that's interesting. All right, Donna, thank you for calling in. Good to hear from you.
Bye-bye.
Have a good night. 314-436-7900. That's the number. Or 800-925-1120. Oh, look at that. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
Happy holidays from KMOX.
Oh, here it is. You know, this is all right, but it's no Monster Mash.
The night before Christmas, when all through the castle, my monsters were having a yuletide hassle. The tree was all trimmed in ghoulish things, like werewolf fangs and vampire wings.
It was a monster's holiday.
But they were up to no good.
It was a monster's holiday.
Didn't act like good monsters should.
You know, if you got a hit song like Monster Mash, why not create the Monster's Holiday?
They were making a list and checking it twice. Frankenstein wanted a shiny new trike, a new chain for Janusz, a brace for Igor's back, a speed shaver for Wolfman, a new cape for Drac. They were up to no good.
Monster's Holiday. It's a little catchy, I'll admit that. This producer Ben's favorite song, at least the spin-off of his favorite song, which is the Monster Mash.
The mummy was to signal from the castle roof at the very first sound of a reindeer hoof. As Santa slid down the chimney wall, the zombies were to make off with sleigh and all.
All right, let's take some more of your calls here at 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. And Dave's calling in from Chicago. Hi, Dave.
Hi, how are you? Great show.
Thanks.
I want to talk about this silly impeachment process. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, I'm a conservative. I'm not some crazy Trump supporter. But I believe the Democrats and the left-wing Democrats that this thing is so unfair. They've been trying to impeach this guy since before he was even his inauguration. You know, and it's like it's like the boy who cried wolf here. I mean, they just, it's just one story after another. I mean, if you actually had a legitimate trial and they, and these Democrats were prospective jurors, not one of them would make it on the jury. I mean, it's just so patently unfair, the whole process.
They would have been dismissed. You're right.
Of course. I mean, it'd be like having the grand wizard of the KKK or something try a black defendant or something, saying, oh, you know, I can be objective here and give him a fair trial. Like, are you kidding me here?
Uh-huh.
I mean,
well, that's the thing.
It's
the way that these hearings work and the way that they bring up these articles of impeachment. It really, they're not treating it like a court case, and they act like, oh, no, this is normal operating procedure when it comes to impeachment, which is really not the case. It's always been,
right,
at least if you want to look at previous impeachments with Bill Clinton, or at least the hearings for Nixon, for example, there is at least some grounds of an actual crime and evidence presented of an actual crime. In this case, it's a lot of interpretation and opinion, and it's very shaky grounds, to say the least, and it's purely political. They started this before he was in office. You're right. They were even surveillancing him before he was in office. I mean, that's the extent that they've wanted to make sure he could never become president, and it's just continued on. It is ridiculous. It really is.
Well, I mean, here's the other thing, too. I mean, it's kind of like we got extortion, we've got bribery, we've got treason. Mm-hmm. Now, all of a sudden, it's like, what's next? And his limousine was speeding or something? I mean, is that going to be the real George? He ran a red light or something?
I mean, maybe. I don't know. Dave,
obstruction of justice. I mean, yeah. Obstruction of justice can mean any time we disagree with what the president does.
Well, that's what I'm...
every word that comes out of his mouth.
Unfortunately, I mean, that's the route that it's going towards in the future. Hey, Good to hear from you. Thank you for calling in, Dave. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.